1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hi, welcome to the program. Today, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, will be along. We'll talk a lot of Racer basketball. The Racers will swing back into action tomorrow night when they take on Brescia. And we'll talk about the Racers to this point. Get Ed's take. What's going on with the team? Lost both games, and I thought performed, you know, pretty well against Ole Miss, pretty well against South Dakota State. Didn't win either game, as expected. Got an easy win over Bethel. And then good first half against Wright State for the most part, and the second half was awful. We'll see what Ed's take is on the Racers as we visit with him. Before we do, let's get you caught up on everything. High school basketball, Camden Price 20 points, Callaway County beating Caverna 55-49 at the West Unseld Classic. At Seneca High School in Louisville yesterday, Peyton Johnson with 17 for the Lakers. They are 8-3. They also will be playing in that tournament today and again tomorrow. Other boys' games saw Mayfield win 2. They beat Louisville Central 64-56 and Bardstown 66-61. Rowan County down McCracken County 71-63. Perry County Central defeating Grays County 67-49. Louisville Ballard 83, Tillman 64, Brentwood Academy 70, Hopkinsville 54. 6-4 Murray High boys back in action tonight. They will play highly touted Bowling Green in the Meyer Holiday Classic in Bowling Green. The Tigers also will play games on Thursday and Friday in that tournament. Turning to girls basketball, Charlie Settle 13 points, 14 rebounds. Callaway County defeated Hopkins County Central 54-29. Last night at the PBI Danny Annis Classic at Ohio County High School there in Beaver Dam. Alicia Hornbuckle helping the Callaway cause with 12 points. Allie Fritz had 11 points and 10 rebounds. What a record for the Callaway County girls. They're off to a 10-1 start. They will get the host school, Ohio County, tonight at 7:30. One other girls' game, Woodstock. Georgia defeated McCracken County 60-21. The Murray Bank Lady Tiger Classic getting underway today at Taylor Gym over at Murray High School. Murray High is hosting the event. They'll face Davis County tonight at 7:30 in a game that airs at 7 on WNBS. Murray will also play two games on Thursday and one game on Friday, and you can hear all of the games on WNBS. Some regional interest men's basketball scores from last night. Tennessee State, they will be in here on Saturday morning for an 11 o'clock tip in the OVC opener against Murray State. They tuned up for that with an 81-50 win over Covenant last night. They are now 9-3 on the season, second most wins in the league behind UT Martin. South Carolina down Lander 90-62. SMU beat Memphis 58-54. Maryland over Illinois 84-59. College basketball this evening, there are some OVC teams that are in action. And in tonight's schedule, one big game, Austin Peay playing at Western Kentucky. That is on Fox College Sports. The others are Cupcakes, Virginia Wise at Eastern Kentucky, Ashbury at Morehead State, and Missouri S&T at SIU Edwardsville, among the OVC teams. Also, a little bit of football news. University of Louisville in Orlando getting set for their Citrus Bowl game against LSU. That one will kick off at 10 Central Time Saturday morning. All eyes on Heisman Trophy winner and quarterback Lamar Jackson. And Kentucky in Jacksonville, Florida, they get set to take on Georgia Tech in the Tax Slayer Bowl. And you can hear that game at 10 a.m. Saturday on 1340 WNBS. Stay tuned. We have Ed Marlowe coming up right after this.
Join Racer Basketball for three exciting games beginning December 29th at 7 p.m. with the Racer men taking on the Brescia Bearcats. Then on New Year's Eve Day, get up and head over to the CFSB Center for doubleheader action with the Racer men tipping off against Tennessee State at 11 a.m. and the women's game against TSU to immediately follow. Enjoy New Year's festivities throughout the day as we ring in the new year. For more information, contact the ticket office at 270-809-3000 or go online at goracers.com.
Welcome back to the program. Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, my guest today as we get set for our final show before 2017 comes about. Ed, we're talking Racer basketball, of course. They had one game last week where they played, actually two games. They played Bethel, and it got an expected win. But then Wright State on Thursday led at halftime. Things looking okay for the most part in the first half. And then in the second half, Wright State simply dominated the team, and here they come on a three-game, they lost three of their last four games, I should say, not a three-game losing streak, but still don't have a road win. They do have Brescia Thursday night, and then conference play looms. They get the home OVC opener against Tennessee State, then four on the road. What's up with this team as you see it?
Honestly, I think everybody got an incredible snapshot of what this team can and can't do against Wright State. If you take a look at that game, you saw everything that the Racers have done right this year and everything that they've done wrong this year in 40 minutes. Like, if you wanted a definition of Racer basketball, that was that game, was how good they could be in transition, how good they could be in moving the ball, and how good they could be defensively. I mean, you take a look at the first 4 minutes of that game, Wright State doesn't score. Yeah. They're 0 for 8. They contest every shot. They get rebounds. They don't allow second chance opportunities. Problem is, the Racer offense got off to a little bit of a slow start there in that first half. I think that they could have stretched that lead 5. It could have been more than 5-0. 9-0, you know, 11-0 might have been too big of a hole for Wright State to get out of. That being said, I think everything was working pretty well for Murray State in that first half, especially closing on that. There was that 10-0 run that was capped by Croker's dunk. And then, as you know, as Coach Matt McMahon said, and I even said the same thing, all Sorks three from 27 feet right in front of the Racer bench. That was a pretty clear message, like, hey, I'm coming for you in the second half. So he puts up a cool 10 in the second half. All right, cool. He scored 17 in the first half. So you think you limit all Stork and you're in, you know, Mark all Stork and you're in good shape. Well, everybody else chipped in just as much. Yeah. And that was the problem. And the Racer offense was fairly stagnant in the second half. You lost a lot of defensive containment in the first 2 to 3 minutes. They ripped off that 13-1 run, and the Racers really never recovered. You had those back-to-back threes from Jonathan Stark and Terrell Miller, but come to find out, they were the only two guys that wanted to make shots in the second half. You know, Terrell got doubled 2 or 3 times. He had 4 turnovers, no assists. He would have had a couple more assists if a couple of those back passes over his shoulder would have turned into points. But you had guys take ill-advised threes, didn't drive with the bonus. I mean, the Racers were in the bonus with 9 minutes to go. And while they still ended up shooting more free throws in the end, they just didn't take advantage. They were trying to – a lot of home run plays when all you needed was a bunt single. And that's hard against a seasoned team like Wright State. I mean, we're seeing veteran teams. This is a Racer basketball team that continues to see veteran non-conference play. And when you have veterans going against guys that have only played 18 months in a Racer uniform and some less than that, you just got a lot of juniors and seniors out there that are winning ball games against the Racers, both at home and on the road. And you and I have said it from the very first day that we started talking about this team, about 4 months ago, that this was a tough non-conference schedule and a very, very tough start to the conference schedule. Sure. And realistically, absolutely, you get big wins against Illinois State. You've got some very inspiring performances against South Dakota State, Ole Miss, Middle Tennessee. The schedule is tough, but, I mean, it was just tough. I just wish there was another word for it, but it's tough. This is certainly a challenge for a second-year head coach and for this very young Racer program.
And you know it was going to take a while for this team to gel from a chemistry standpoint. At least you figured it was. There were signs of good play, as you've mentioned. But you see, the second half against Wright State, you don't see that one, and who knows, there may not be one, but that one emotional leader who will maybe not, I'm not a rally the troops kind of guy, but maybe just say, hey, get it to me. Let's get it going. I'll put you on my back. That player hasn't emerged. I'm not sure if there will be that player to emerge, but there's no doubt that the chemistry and the will to not see your team fail, that has to increase. I know nobody wants to go out there and lose, and I'm not saying that. That's not the case, but they just haven't really reached the point where, I don't know, that it just isn't. It's very tough to put into words. I just don't see the chemistry that you want to see on a team to win a championship. I still think it's possible to see this, but I haven't seen it at this point. And I still think the leadership, and it's got to come from the seniors, I believe, the leadership needs to emerge to get this team over the hump, to get the road wins. get a good start in conference play. Still think it can come, but it has to happen soon.
I mean, you've got a great point. It's got to come from the seniors. It has to. It doesn't matter what their role is on the team. Actually, yesterday when we were previewing Brescia and Tennessee State, Terrell Miller, had some very insightful words. I asked him, what did he think? I just give me your outside look. I mean, I know you're part of this team, and we know that you've had a pretty good stretch of basketball these last 2 to 3 weeks. But if you had to give a grade on this team, what would you say that on conference schedule would be? And he gave it like a B-C+, which I thought was pretty fair. I know others would probably grade it lower, but as a guy that's in the locker room and a guy that knows these other teammates and knows his coaching staff and things like that, how did he feel about it? And, and that's his thought. And he said that, he believed that guys were playing to their potential sometimes, and then sometimes they weren't. And that included himself. This is a guy that was benched for a game and a half. And I say benched in the lightest of terms. These definitions of starters and benches don't matter anymore. It's all about minutes, in my opinion. I understand from a mental psyche standpoint, you've got this aura of, well, I'm in the starting five, so I'm starting. That's my thing. But to me, I'm looking at minutes. I'm looking at how many minutes are you playing. And after he was, quote, benched for the Ole Miss game, he still played 26 minutes, put up 27-10. I mean, I wish I could do anything that efficient. Yeah. As far as what he has been able to do since his, quote, lesson from Matt McMahon, like, hey, listen, this is what we need you to do inside and out. Can you be this player? The answer is yes. Terrell is one of those guys, after even assessing himself, he's realizing, and he didn't call out anybody in particular. Nobody's going to call out anybody in particular. Right. There's no point in that. This is all about a team effort. The team is disappointed. Miller is disappointed. He knows that guys aren't playing to their potential in certain situations. He knows that guys can compete, but sometimes haven't competed. And he said as much yesterday. And it's just one of those situations. It was in my story today. Miller is one of 12 guys on this team who knows, and obviously with, Byron Hawkins sitting, he can't be a part of this, but he can in practice. You've got to compete and do what you do on the practice floor and take it to the game 100% of the game. I mean, you've got these veteran teams like Wright State, who the Racers have never beaten. They're 0-3 against. You have these teams that just, they see the Racers, and they've been breaking their will, either in the first half or in the second. And the Racers have had some valiant comebacks, fall a little short. They've had some opportunities where they had a chance to get wins, slip away. I think Middle Tennessee State game is probably one of those games where they had a pretty decent lead in the first half at Middle. I think at one point we're up 20-11. Had a great start to that game, then just saw a veteran team in Middle Tennessee who's favored to win Conference USA come away with that win. And so, obviously, I'm sure it's frustrating. I'm more than certain that it's frustrating for this team and this coaching staff to kind of go through these woes. But it's all part of the process. It's all part of growing. And I personally see the team continuing to grow. Now, is it slower than people want? Sure. I'm sure Matt McMahon and his squad would love to be 9-4 or 10-3, 8-5, 7-6. I mean, any combination of 13 games that has them at a winning record, I'm sure that they would love to have right now. But as far as, the team just hasn't come as far as they have wanted it to. And really, in all honesty, it's unfortunate because wins are wins, but I think the home win against Illinois State, a top 60 RPI win, set a lot of things on the table, set up a lot of immediate expectations after the first 40 minutes of basketball. When those of us who know the team and those of us that have seen the team consistently over these last, 4 weeks knew that there were going to be some roller coasters just because it's just guys figuring things out.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got four guys, you've got a freshman class. They're not that removed from graduating from high school. They've already been thrown to the fire. They've already played at the Pavilion. They've already, they've already been in a three-day, a three-day tournament up in Ohio. Then you've got, a couple JUCO guys that are really trying to get their swing into things. And then you've got three seniors that, two of them sat for a year. You know, they're not even 3-year guys. They're 18-month guys. And it's just hard to keep all of that in perspective. Top on the fact that there are a mountain of mounting, just to use those words again, mounting expectations of, you know, let's get in conference play and do something different than we did last year. Let's be better than 10-6. It's a lot of pressure on a lot of guys who really, in all honesty, just need to go out there and continue to play basketball.
And how quickly can it turn around? I recall the 25 straight win season where they go to Nashville, they get smoked by Valparaiso, they lose a reasonably close one to Portland State, eke out a win against Drake, and little did we know that there's your Christmas there's your holiday coming up, and before conference play would roll around and before everything would end, that would be the first of 25 consecutive wins that would end in a terrific season. So it can turn around really quickly. Now, granted, you had Cam Payne, who was an NBA point guard on that team that you didn't really know at the time. But this is a younger team. I think the learning curve probably is a little tougher for them, as we've seen with the results. But I still believe that's how quickly it can turn around. Get a win against Brescia Thursday, as expected. Even if they could somehow pull out a win against Tennessee State, they've at least set the table from a confidence standpoint for a brutal 4-game road trip.
Oh, absolutely. I'm hoping that I can go to most of those road games. It's looking in my favor so far, but you know, it is brutal because you go southernmost and then northernmost. Mm-hmm. And we know in the history of Racer basketball, the EIU, SIU, Edwardsville swing, it doesn't matter if they're combined 2-40. That's just a tough swing. Mm-hmm. And the same with Jacksonville State and Tennessee Tech. You know, that's a tough swing. It doesn't matter if Jacksonville State's, you know, I don't even know their record right now, but I know Ray Harper has picked up a couple signature wins already. What do you know? I mean, he wins everywhere he goes. And, you know, and Tech is going to be Tech at Cookeville. And so it's just one of those situations where the Racers just haven't gotten a road win at all, not against any team. They've got a couple of neutral court wins, but I mean, it's just one neutral court win, actually. I think they're 1-1 on neutral courts. It's just one of those situations where a road win anywhere would be enough of a confidence booster to go into that next game. And yeah, the Racers do close 7 of their last 11 at home, but you don't want to be in so too far of a hole where the pressure is even more monumental.
Yeah,
it's like all of a sudden you're 1-4 in conference play or 2-3 in conference play. Now you really need to win your 7 home games, and a couple of those are not going to be easy. You've got EKU coming here, you got Belmont coming here. Those are going to be challenges. I mean, just it's all part of conference play, you know. So if you can somehow be 3-2, 4-1, maybe even 5-0 after a brutal, you know, first 2 weeks of the season, then all of a sudden you're starting to talk about, can you, I don't want to say run the table because that's absurd to talk about at this point, but, you know, can you finish 12-4 or 11-5 in conference play, be comfortably above 500, and have a decent seed in the tournament? Mm-hmm. That's when that discussion can start. But in the meantime, you know, now is the time to respect teams like Tennessee State and this road swing and see what the team can actually do.
The conference season actually begins Thursday night. There's one conference game, Jacksonville State at UT Martin. These are teams, to me, that have exceeded expectations. I think Ray Harper's done a really good job with Jacksonville State. When you consider that when they play that game, that will finally wrap up. Well, actually, they play that one, and then they play Saturday's game at Eastern Illinois. That will wrap up an entire month on the road for Jacksonville State. And UT Martin, despite sustaining heavy losses, tell you what, their starting five's really good. They've had a fantastic beginning to their season, and they have more wins than anybody in the league. They set at 10-5. Tennessee State on the other side is now 9-3 after their win against Covenant. So a pretty big test there for Jacksonville State and UT Martin. I don't know how that game will come out, although Martin should be favored because it's at home.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I wish I could guess. I think a lot of what, you know, UT Martin is doing, they're powered very much by Kadar Edwards and just how well he's been able to play. I mean, they've hit 2-game winners. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. They played Ole Miss close that very first game of the season. And everybody thought, well, is Ole Miss that bad or is UT Martin that good? And turns out, to be honest with you, I thought UT Martin played Kentucky pretty well for the first 8 minutes. Now, they weren't going to go, they weren't going to do much better after that, and it became very apparent in that second half when Kentucky just ran all over them. But I thought that first 8 to 10 minutes of at Rupp was, I watched that whole game, it was pretty inspired play. They hit some big shots. They, you know, rebound the ball pretty well. They're big. You know, their bench is a little suspect. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, I mean, they're just as good as anybody. And that's, you know, those are the types of things. The league, and Matt McMahon's even said this from the very beginning. He, you know, he's obviously busy with his own scouting, but every once in a while you kind of take a look and see what the rest of your conference is doing. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This conference is playing more consistently from the bottom up, you know. And you've got teams like Belmont, you know, who everybody thought was going to win the conference this year. They've actually struggled out of the gate. You know, they're not making threes at all. They're 6-4. They've had to escape twice at Lipscomb, you know, in that Battle of the Boulevard. It's just one of those, you know, it's just the conference is doing weird and crazy things right now. And, you know, if everybody else is playing consistently and all of a sudden the Racers aren't playing consistently, then, you know, who knows what can happen. But I honestly think the conference is as wide open as it's ever been. Tennessee State might disagree just from a defensive standpoint. But when you get into conference play, a lot of these things are going to shake up. And honestly, I don't even know if I could pick who's going to win the Jacksonville State-UT Martin game. Martin obviously probably will be favored. But, I mean, Ray Harper's already gotten a true road win when he went and got paid to beat Tulsa.
Yeah.
And I know Tulsa's bad, but, I mean, Tulsa now has a couple decent wins since then.
They do.
I mean, you know, and then you take a look at a team like Wright State who beat Kent State on the road, and then last night Kent State beat Texas at Texas.
Yeah.
College basketball. I mean, this is college basketball, guys. Like, what in the world? Like, Shaka Smart's Big 12 Texas, like, Longhorns, like, lost to Kent State. And Kent State lost to Wright State. Does that mean that the Racers could beat Texas? No, no, it does not. Who knows? I mean, you know, I just the transitive property in basketball. I know it doesn't work, but it's just it's crazy to think. Just with conference play coming up this weekend, obviously a team like the Racers, that they have some things that they certainly have to figure out, but it's just you just don't ever know. And a lot of times in the OVC, it's easy to say, well, this team's going to do really well because they have this piece, this piece, this piece, and this piece. But, I mean, this conference schedule is already starting to look like it could be just another dandy. Like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen by, you know, by the second week of March?
And Saturday, of course, Tennessee State at Murray State is what most consider the feature game. Excuse me, is on CBS Sports Network, 11 a.m. tip-off. EKU's at SEMO, Tech at SIU, Edwardsville, Jacksonville State at Eastern Illinois, Moorhead at Martin. But another huge game, Belmont at Austin Peay in a 2:30 tip-off. And these, you know, Belmont, they want to say, hey, I know the non-conference has been a little rocky, but we're going to put our foot down once conference play starts. And Austin Peay, they want to show, yeah, we lost Chris Horton, but we're back to defend our tournament championship. I think that's a real intriguing first Saturday game as well.
Oh, it should be. And the thing about it is, I mean, there's no question, Josh Robinson, Jared Savage, they play at Western tonight, I think. I was checking on Twitter. That's a situation. I mean, I wouldn't want to play Josh Robinson and Jared Savage. I wouldn't want to go up against them. You know, yeah, they struggled in non-conference, you know, opportunities, but, you know, a pretty tough schedule for Dave Luce and his crew, and they're always going to rally. That's no more evident than they were last year.
They can score.
They can score. And that when you can score, and that's something I think bodes well for the Racers, too.
That's right.
If you can score in OVC play, defense starts to not matter nearly as much. And I don't mean that like that sounds, because outside of Tennessee State, there really isn't a top-tier defensive team in this conference, period. Just the defensive efficiency is not there as of now. And again, a lot of that's going to come down to non-conference play, and some of those statistics are going to be a little skewed because you're playing your Dukes and your, you know, you go and take your lumps at Kansas or, you know, whoever, you know, at these SEC programs, Power 5 schools. When teams in the OVC go play Power 5 schools, your stats seem to be a little squished because you're just playing tougher opponents.
Right.
That being said, I haven't really seen a team really jump out to me defensively and just shake things up. Now, again, other than Tennessee State, who happened to hold a Duke team to 65 points at home, I just, you know, and then take NC State to overtime at NC State and hold them to under 70. And it's like, what? Wow. You know, outside of Tennessee State, I haven't seen a defense on paper in the non-conference, you know, schedule that's really leapt out to me and said, okay, these guys are going to give everybody trouble. So if you can score in the OVC, like the Racers are probably going to be able to do, you're probably going to win some games. Whereas if you go back and look at the tape and you say, oh, man, our defense was terrible, but thank God we put up 94 points. You know, those are the kind of – I think there's going to be several games all across the conference this year that's going to happen. Yeah. You're not going to see any defense, you know, but you're going to see, you know, monumental offense. That game between Belmont and Austin Peay has a chance to be a barn burner, just because if Belmont starts hitting their threes like they usually do in conference play and guys like Savage and Robinson go off for 25, 27 points, yeah, that's a game that could be, you know, high speed, lots of possessions, 100 possessions each team, first to 90 wins. I think that's extremely possible. Yeah. Of course, I say this, and then Belmont's going to win 61-59 on a last-second free throw or something.
Oh, I know.
That's just conference play for you, though.
Yeah, it is. Ed, appreciate the visit. Hope you have a great new year, and we'll visit again next week, all right?
Absolutely.
That is Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun. Tomorrow we'll go over the OVC schedule for the weekend and also preview the Murray State and Brescia game on tomorrow's show.